Hello. It's 2:35 p.m. Mountain Time in Roswell, New Mexico, 4:35 p.m. in New York City, and 1:35 p.m. in Los Angeles. And you're listening to Night Call.
I'm Emily Yoshida, and you are listening to Night Call, a podcast to keep you company during these strange days and lonely nights. And joining me on the line in Los Angeles, two of my favorite pod people in the world. Want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Molly Lambert.
And I'm Tess Lynch.
And give us a call and leave a message at 1-240-46-NIGHT. That's 240-466-4448. Leave us your thoughts, theories, ask us for advice. We might have some. I don't know. We're just here to be your chat buddies, really. How are you guys doing? How's Los Angeles? I was just there yesterday.
No, you just left 1 second ago.
It's still like bizarrely unseasonably hot, which is strange.
It's terrible.
It's really pretty bad. I was complaining that it was cold, but right now it's like 85 degrees, which is crazy.
It's a big spread. It gets cold at night, which I'm into.
I was sitting by a pool not 48 hours ago, and now I am wearing snow boots and a hat, and I feel like garbage. So it's a really good state of mind to kick things off in.
Well, I have the perfect thing to take your mind off that, which is naked mole rats. Because whether you're warm or cold, it doesn't matter. We have to talk about naked mole rats.
We're all naked mole rats underneath.
We are all naked mole rats.
I just want to say that we're at my apartment right now, and Tess showed up with a stack of papers.
Yes, I did.
Printed off the internet.
For sure.
information about naked mole rats.
There used to be an exhibit on naked mole rats in the zoo that I, the town I grew up in, and they were really trying to push naked mole rats as like a viral animal.
I love them.
I'm not sold on their looks. Well, first of all, let me tell you that the reason that I found the papers that I printed from the internet, as Molly pointed out.
No, I love it.
From the internet, you say?
From the internet.
It's very professional.
Is because last week there was a viral video of a rat taking a shower, like a man or a woman, washing his or her body with soap. And then everyone realized that it wasn't a rat. It was a different kind of animal with no tail. What's it called? Pacaranda. Wait, no, Pacarana. Hold on. I'm going to sift through.
That doesn't make it any less impressive to
me. Pacarana.
I don't think it's real.
Not sure if I'm pronouncing it right.
I don't think it's real. I've seen this rat. I've seen this Pacaranda. Pacarana.
Pacarana. It has no D. I put in the D to see if you were paying attention. You are. You passed.
I'm speaking of pachyderms.
I've seen this video and I don't believe that it's real.
You think it's a doctored shower rat video?
I do. I think that somebody made a fake shower rat.
Is that because you're skeptical of all viral rat videos since Pizza Rat was exposed as a hoax?
Was Pizza Rat exposed? I liked Pizza Rat. I liked his spirit. I liked Pizza Rat better than this rat.
Everybody liked Pizza Rat. It was totally a setup.
Yeah, it was. What was the deal? Do you remember what the deal with debunking that was?
I think some girl admitted it was her. She was like, I thought it was a funny thing to do, so I did it.
Our producer, Ben Hosley, who we should, acknowledge up front as the man behind the knobs, he is shaking his head extremely skeptically about this. What is the truth about Pizza Rat?
It's not a hoax.
It's not a hoax.
No, because the guy who filmed it, his name is Matt, and he's a UCB guy. And I can confirm that footage is real. It's true.
You're telling me a UCB guy made a viral video and
it's a documentary.
That's all they live to make viral videos, those UCB guys.
I just don't understand how you could manipulate a video of, rats can't play along. Like shower rat,
Is that true? Do you know it's a lot
puppet.
About rats?
Well, I know that rats laugh, which made me like them more. They do.
I like rats. I've been known to have to be dragged away from gutters because I want to rescue a rat and make it my friend.
It's a puppet. It has to be a puppet.
Maybe they use the technology from Ratatouille.
Yes.
Ratatouille was, I didn't like Ratatouille. I'm sorry. It's because it's one of those opinion.
No, it's because it's one of those Pixar Brad Bird.
It's a Randian narrative.
But it's also like you sell it to your kid as something that you can both enjoy, and then there's a lady with a shotgun like shooting everywhere, and it was so unexpected. I was like, I thought this was about cooking. It's not at all.
Are you sure you didn't watch Bambi?
Yeah. No, I haven't watched Bambi with my children. I'm not a sadist.
I'm not a monster.
Wait. So tie together the naked mole rats and the sewer rat. I want to understand the connection here. Or are we just here in celebration of vermin in general?
You said sewer. I think you meant shower.
Shower.
So
sewer.
I'm just gonna say
it's all the same for a rat.
Get with the times, Emily. So listen, on Gizmodo today, which is not today for anyone listening to this, but it will always be today for me.
You just dated us so bad.
I know. I'm so sorry. But it's a sciencey thing. So it's, I'm trying to be honest. It says naked mole rats could theoretically live forever. And these naked mole rats who have I don't know, they're hideous. They're wrinkly. They have tusks coming out of their noses. They've got the weird eyes. Anyway. They're being studied at the research firm Calico, which is owned by Google, and they have these mole rats, and in captivity, I guess most animals like the naked mole rat live 6 years. These guys have been going for 35 years, and sometimes they'll die of, I think one of the things was periodontal disease, but also just regular, diseases. But if they don't get sick, they just keep going. And they're 35 years old, so they're being studied to see if maybe we can copy a naked mole rat.
Okay. As soon as you said Calico.
Right?
Yeah.
Calico is the scariest company.
It's the scariest company. That's why I thought you guys might want to talk about the naked mole rat.
No, I totally do. Because it's all those Silicon Valley dudes want to live forever, which is crazy to want to do.
Peter Thiel injecting his veins with the blood. Yeah.
Of mole rats. Is he going to vampire mole rats? Is he going to make a mole rat slurry to guzzle down at his sex orgies?
Or perhaps a vinegary shrub of mole rat juice.
I was just reading that Quincy Jones GQ interview that will also date when this podcast was recorded. But he talks about how he was had dinner with Leni Riefenstahl because he was a fan, which is obviously crazy. He sort of buys the she did nothing wrong element, which is not true. She sucks.
Yeah,
as a filmmaker,
I don't understand how that's even an argument that gets any credence at all anymore.
Somebody made it in the 70s that she was a great woman filmmaker, and they were wrong.
We have
to
do better.
She also
we can do better as far as female filmmakers go. Lots of alternatives at this point.
For sure. So he had dinner with her and she told him that all the Nazis were on drugs all the time, which I think is now sort of openly known because of that book Blitzed.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But she was Hitler was on coke all day, every day, and all the high ranking Nazis were on coke and meth. So I was looking up stuff about that, and then I saw that one of the other things the Nazi doctors did was they injected Hitler with bull semen.
What?
As I think we got to this from injections.
we've gone from zero to bull semen.
Well, that's very it's Peter Thiel injecting himself with the virgin blood. Man, this podcast is going to get sued by Hulk Hogan, isn't it?
It's too early. We got to build up some steam first.
That would be really great publicity. First episode, sued
welcome
already.
Night call. We'll all go on trial.
Why did they inject him with bull semen, though?
Because it was an aphrodisiac, supposedly. Because
but why
it was
would he want an aphrodisiac? Wouldn't he just want
he would
adrenaline?
Want it when he would. No, he wanted. It was when he was going to make love to the disgusting Eva Braun.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Disgusting. Horrible people. But fun. All the weird doping. Anyway, thought of that, thinking about people injecting themselves with stuff to live forever.
Would you inject yourself with naked mole rat serum if you thought that, would you be, a test subject for something that could make you basically immortal?
No.
No?
Why would you want to live forever? Sorry. I mean, I feel
that's my feeling.
I'm going to be so tired by the time I'm, whatever age
I'm already tired.
I'm already tired.
That's a very
tuck
everlasting stance, I suppose.
Sometimes I hear about something that'll happen in the far off future, and I'm like, oh, thank God, I'll be dead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that's one way in which like your average Silicon Valley dude is not like, they are not like the rest of us.
Yeah. No.
Silicon Valley like, guys, they're not like us.
They also like just got powerful, so they want to hang on to like their ability to have sex with women.
Yeah, they're having the orgies now.
Yeah, their newfound orgy abilities.
Yeah.
They want to last as long as possible. You know what movie I enjoyed, and I know Emily enjoyed, and I'd love to spend 1 second talking about, is the movie Paddington 2.
Oh, shit. Can we do a Paddington 2 transition right now?
Yeah, let's just talk Paddington about Paddington Corner. Paddington 2. Yeah, Paddington Marmalade Corner.
Okay, we're calling an audible. It's Paddington time.
I'm just going to listen because I haven't seen Paddington Put 2. On,
sorry.
Paddington Put 2. On, okay, well, Paddington 1, great movie. Excellent movie. Paddington 2, one of the, like, I actually feel like it's going to be hard to top this year as far as films go. I was so delighted by this movie.
Why? Wait, this is so mystifying to me.
I'll tell you why. Okay, so my friend was like, let's go see Paddington 2. And I was mystified, but I was like, that'll be fun, whatever. I'll go see a movie at the Americana. But then, like, as the trailers were running, I was like, oh no, what have I done? Because it was all children's movies trailers. Right. So they were all either, like, insufferably twee or like so grating, and I was like, oh no, like kids movies are bad, I don't want to see a kids movie,
they're bad.
But yeah. Then Paddington 2 is like a lovely, delightful movie full of British character actors that is not pandering or somehow not twee, even though it's Paddington, and is just a delight. And I was like, mm-hmm. Why is this so good? So then I looked it up, and it's the guy who directed all the Mighty Boosh episodes.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's like a British alternative comedy, but for kids. It's so good. It's like just a great, I mean, yeah, it's just delightful.
It's like a movie that like addresses kids at their level and not in a way that makes
not
them
in
feel
a Pixar
dumb.
Way.
Yeah.
Like more, I think I wrote a review of it and I compared it to like Babe, I think is a good comparison point. And also like the Muppet movies, early Muppet movies, where it's kind of like silly humor. None of it is like, there's not really like toilet humor or anything. It's just like silliness and silliness that kids and adults could appreciate without it being like in jokes for the adults.
You silly know? And sometimes like a little dark.
Yeah.
And it all takes place on like Portobello Road. It's very charming in every possible way.
I mean, the main plot point of Paddington 2 is that Paddington goes to jail and he makes jail like beautiful.
Yeah.
What was his crime?
His crime is
a spoiler.
He stole a pop-up book.
Yeah. He's framed. But it's also, it's a great movie because it's like against classism. It's like,
Anti-Brexit film.
It's an anti-Brexit movie, although it does adhere to a false good immigrant narrative that only the immigrants who accomplish like great things like Paddington deserve to stay. But it also is like, it's about like the prisoners, like Paddington's adopted father, human father, like judges the prisoners and then like can't see that Hugh Grant, who's the villain and is amazing, is evil because he's posh, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, can't you see? He's just like a scammer with a posh accent. And these prisoners are like good people who didn't deserve to go to jail necessarily, or who can like get out of jail and live lives and, you know, redeem themselves. It's such a good movie.
It's so good. It's like the world is a better place for that movie being around. That's about the highest compliment I can give to a movie.
Yeah, I was like shocked at how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Even like CGI Bear, I was like, I don't know about this. But then I was
no. It's cute. It's very cute. Okay. Paddington 2 Corner is shut down for this episode.
What if I have more feelings about Paddington 2? I just want to talk about how Hugh Grant looks so great.
His name is Phoenix something. He is an actor. And he's a master of disguise.
Some of the jokes are like silly names.
Yeah,
he's like a West End actor who treads the boards.
I love Hugh Grant still.
Oh, he's so great.
I can't help it.
But
at
it's
all.
Also like
he also has pictures around his house of him as a younger, handsomer man, but it's just pictures of Hugh Grant.
Right,
which
right.
is hilarious.
But here's what I was gonna say is like he looks hot because he doesn't look like a Botox monster.
No.
He like has lines in
he's
his face.
He's creased, but in a like
he's creased, but I'm like, oh, I'm old, so like I find him hot old now. But
is
also
creased,
like
is creased like slang. Like thick, Like, oh man, he creased. Like,
he just coined it right now. He creased.
He creased with two D's.
Yeah. Or maybe like three S's and two D's.
It was just very refreshing. Jeff Goldblum is like
creased.
Yeah. See a human being's face. It's like instead of Zaddy.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. He's creased.
Because, you know, I find Zaddy a little like sometimes I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, wait. Can we drop this out of nowhere that Molly just made an incredible connection between two of our favorite television shows that I had not been aware of until.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching Cheers, the prequel to Frasier.
Yeah. The famous prequel to Frasier. I don't know what I was trying to say
Cheers?
There.
It's a good film about
a
bar.
It's a good film about a bar. An old-timey illustrations show is what I always thought that show was about.
It takes place in the 1900s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I watched the episode where I've been watching the season where Frasier is introduced, which is season 3. He's introduced as like, and I sort of realized because I've never watched Cheers all the way through. I've seen like a Cheers here and there, but yeah, I didn't realize how much Frasier is just like a male Diane.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that they were like, oh, we're introducing
because they date, right?
Yeah, they date, and he's like the opposite of Sam, who's like the.
Yeah.
The sexy playboy.
He's like more working class. He was an athlete, but he's more like, you know.
Well,
a
that
guy's
show is
guy.
Also super about classism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Among like white people in Boston.
Yeah.
It's like slobs versus snobs. Yeah. But yeah, I watched the episode where Frasier's mother appeared and realized that his mother, who appears in one episode, whose name is Hester Crane in the episode, is played by Nancy Marchand, aka Livia Soprano.
Wait, really?
Yes.
That's nuts.
And it's amazing because she's like, she's, you know, Nancy Marchand and she's amazing.
She's actually so bringing a similar vibe.
Because the mom is supposed to be dead in Frasier.
They retcon it for Frasier.
But then I don't know if they ever explain that or if there's like an event.
They never explain it, but it could still work with this chronology because the mom is like, she's like a Boston, like a snotty Boston rich lady, I think is the idea. But then like she sends Frasier to the bar to get a drink. She disapproves of Diane because Diane is like a lowly barmaid.
Right.
But she sends Frasier to get a drink and then she turns to Diane and she's like, I'm going to kill you. She says, if you don't stop dating my son, Frasier, I'm going to kill you. And then Diane kind of laughs and she's like, no, I'm serious. I have a gun. And it's amazing.
I'm so glad that there's a connection. Like,
yeah. So it's all one shared.
Everything is one
universe.
Show.
It's all one show.
So speaking of shared universes, I guess we're going to talk about Black Mirror. Black Mirror, I'd like to think is, along with Frasier, a show that we made popular. It's all us. Thank you. Or you're welcome, Charlie Brooker. We'll be expecting our checks in the mail. But we used to talk about Black Mirror a ton just off of the first couple episodes that aired in the UK on our old podcast, Girls in Hoodies, on the Grantland Network.
When it was available, when we had to hop on the plane and fly to the UK.
We got so many frequent flyer miles off of that. Like,
remember that? You guys, so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I got those upgrades. It was great. We were early appreciators, I would say, of the show. And now it's kind of become this whole thing. Like, this website that I work for, vulture.com, posted around the time that the most recent season on Netflix came out, their ranking of the best Black Mirror episodes, and it's been at the top of the site for like a month now. Like, suddenly Black Mirror is this thing that everybody wants to talk about, or is like weirdly divisive somehow. But we wanted to talk about the most recent episodes, even though it's a little old, because I know some people are catching up to them still. Myself included, I haven't watched all of the newest season.
It's never old because it's in the future.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
an interesting question because I feel like there are now at this point some Black Mirror episodes that are in the past now, comparatively.
Well, in the past, but it's always like just slightly. It's supposed to be anywhere from like 10 minutes in the I think the quote was 10 minutes in the future. If we're messing up.
Okay, but yeah. Going with that, if the prime minister fucked a pig and we're now in the prime minister fucked a pig
That's
timeline.
True. That's true. Then we can lay out where we're going to go.
We kind of are, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like if the equivalent happened in the United States, it would, I mean, our president has symbolically fucked a pig many times over at this point, and we've kept
going.
He's
probably also literally fucked a pig.
That's true. Well, I mean, we also, that actually happened. Do you remember when, oh God, why am I blanking on the prime minister's name now?
But David Cameron. That's what I'm saying. We're in the timeline where the thing predicted by Black Mirror actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means all the things predicted by Black Mirror will now happen in a Black Mirror.
As an aside, may I ask if you guys have favorite episodes of Black Mirror, even though with the caveat that you have not seen all of them yet?
This season?
From all time. You can list a few. You can list three if you want.
My favorite is 15 Million Merits.
Yes. That's... Mm-hmm.
That one, I feel like a lot of people don't like it just because of the bike stuff or it feels a little too on the nose and everything. But I think where it gets to at the end about like how it's impossible to actually make protest art because it all gets co-opted
right.
by capitalism is like completely depressing, but also I think still extremely relevant. And Daniel Kaluuya is in it, and the Oscar nominated Daniel Kaluuya is in it, mm-hmm. and he is great. I love that episode. It's like totally, I don't know. I feel all of it, all of its points.
Molly, do you have one?
I like that one where the guy breaks his glasses and then he can't read any of the books.
Oh, All the Time in the World, the classic 1960s Black Mirror. I forget that guy's name. I used to remember that episode. I like had memorized.
That was your favorite episode.
It was my
Twilight Zone,
in the World. Okay, I'm going to propose, basically, there were a bunch of articles on this. There's one from Wired by Miranda Katz that kind of posits that we're, you know, reaching like the singularity. So it says that since the purchase from Netflix, Black Mirror has begun to chip away at its episodic edges. And basically, you know, there is some kind of like it's not just an anthology, really. It kind of all belongs to its own universe. And there are all these Easter eggs and stuff that are sprinkled throughout. And I think particularly in the fourth season, especially most obviously in the finale, which is the Black Museum, they kind of go through and link a bunch of things. But there was this super interesting article on Screen Crush by E. Oliver Whitney. And the proposal is the chronological list of episodes that begins with National Anthem, which is obviously the pig fucking, if you will. Mm-hmm.
I will.
knew that we'd drop those kind of things in our first episode of our mm-hmm. podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really interesting because a lot of the chronology, like a lot of this hypothesis rests on a news ticker that shows up in episodes like across all the seasons where, you know, there will be like a news broadcast in the background of whatever's going on. And if you read the news ticker, it'll reference incidents that have happened in other episodes. So you can kind of loosely place them on a timeline.
This isn't Black Museum. This happens.
No. So this is actually there are the news tickers are like in all different episodes.
Okay,
the Black Museum, basically spoilers, go away. Spoilers. If you haven't seen
don't
want
it.
Them. Okay. Well, I'll just say that the Black Museum is essentially a tour of the future created by Black Mirror, but it is not the last episode of, you know what I mean? It's not the final episode in the timeline.
It could be the series finale, though.
Yes, but there's one that's further in the future that would, you know, probably if you kind of look into the world that it takes place in. But basically it's
what does it say is the furthest in the future?
Okay, so the furthest in the future is Metalhead.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
did you
yeah,
see
yeah,
Metalhead?
Yeah. No, but I know what it's about.
Yeah, it's one of the like most dystopian.
That's the one that's shot in black and white and it's about like robot dogs.
And right. there's something of like the ones that are shot in black and white or maybe later or no, not later, but they might indicate that the people you're seeing are actually digital copies.
Can I submit an opinion right now?
Please.
Yeah.
That I think that this is like the least interesting thing to talk about with Black Mirror. Like the idea of a chronology with it.
I agree. I mean, I don't think it's the least interesting thing. I think it's totally interesting. But I also think that like,
it's like a goof, though, on the part of Brooker. Like, it's like, I don't feel like it's like getting to the soul of why the show is or what it's doing. But it's like it's totally the kind of thing that people will get obsessed with on the internet. Like, it's
the
like,
kind of person. I mean, there are definitely Easter eggs in this season, especially in Black Museum. It's like a museum of artifacts, and there are just artifacts in the background that are like things from other episodes.
But like that I haven't seen that episode yet, but that like worries, like I love Black Mirror. I'm like, I'll defend it against the haters or whatever. But like when it gets up its own ass too much, that's when I'm kind of like, you know.
I totally agree. I did not think that Black Museum was one of the strongest episodes. I actually thought that this was the weakest season, but I still loved it a lot. But I think what's actually more interesting than figuring out the chronology is basically, you know, there are these different kinds of, you know, technological gadgets or whatever, a contact lens that then becomes something that's a grain implanted in the brain and all that. So I guess what's interesting about it is not really just trying to say, oh, it's a linear story of what happens, but basically like, where does Charlie Brooker see the technology? If it all belongs to the same universe, then how does the progression kind of go?
Right.
Yeah. I feel like it belongs to the same universe in that it's like the universe in Charlie Brooker's brain.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Are certain things that just obviously like, and you know, I think he's a genius and I think that it's amazing he's come up with like a million new concepts for all these episodes, but I also like think that there are probably limitations, you know, or just that because of how the brain works, you're going to repeat ideas or
right, and it'll be skewed to like, he is like, I didn't see if he, I when I first watched the first episode of the season, the USS Callister, I didn't know that it was one of his. But then as it went on, I was like, this is like a total like written and directed.
Well, let's
Charlie
talk
Brooker.
About that episode, because I think we all watched that one.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the best episode.
Yeah, I agree. That episode is great. And I was so encouraged by that because I really didn't like the last season very well at all.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't. I thought a lot of the production value seemed off, and there was a little too much of the like, is your mind blown by how awful the world is type stuff.
Well, it went from being like a BBC show or Channel 4 or whatever it was to being a Netflix show.
Yeah.
So it got like a big budget. And sometimes I do feel like when people get a big budget and they can like do too many things, you're like, oh, you actually worked better with limitations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I felt like it then got like, people really like, what's it called?
San Junipero.
Well, no, I love San Junipero. San Junipero is great. But what's the one, the one with Bryce Dallas Howard in it?
Oh, Nosedive.
Yeah. Okay. So that one is, I just feel like it looks bad. Like it doesn't, and the idea of it, like I feel like that episode is the kind of thing that people are making fun of when they make fun of Black Mirror. Cause it's like, I don't know. It's like the computers, but what if too much type thing. And I
really liked Playtest.
I loved Playtest. I actually liked Nosedive though.
I liked
too.
Playtest, and I've been thinking about it a lot. Sorry, let me start again.
Whoa.
I liked Playtest, and I was thinking about it a lot after the Logan Paul Suicide Forest scandal.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, that is what he deserves. And also, he's the same kind of like blonde American doofus.
Yeah.
Like, trap you in a video game forever for being the worst person in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I watched that episode on a big screen and I feel like it made a big difference.
Yeah.
It scared the fuck out of me, but also I was like scanning the frame the whole time, like in a horror jump out video or video game where you're just like looking for something scary to click on.
I think that that was one of my favorite episodes last season too.
But I think like the low point is something like Shut Up and Dance, which is just like, it's just that sort of like White Bear, which I've come around a little bit on White Bear, but I still don't really like it that much.
I like it. It scared me the first time. It's scary,
but I feel like it's not.
Shut Up and Dance. I'm like, I'm an idiot because I got tricked.
But there's no reason. Like, it's not a good trick because it never lays the track down.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah. I didn't see it coming. You know, this season.
You didn't see it coming because they never like gave a hint about it.
No, they did, because his sister walks in on him masturbating and he's really embarrassed and you think it's just because he's masturbating, but then you realize later it's because he was masturbating to child porn.
Well,
it's fucking, It's mental in it.
It's, me- yeah, it's
no,
mental.
No, totally.
It's bloody
it is mental.
Mental,
mento have, with a yeah. W.
There's a very, very bleak episode this season. I don't know if you guys have seen Crocodile.
I really liked that one.
Oh, I couldn't handle Crocodile. It was like, it
Crocodile
just felt like
the
beating
one.
Yourself over the head with
I mean,
something
there's
sharp.
There's a twist at the end that's like a little too stupid.
It's just so, it's so depressing.
But I also like sometimes those twists, because like sometimes the really bleak twists are just really funny, you know?
But what was the, oh no, don't tell me the twist in case
we
people can, haven't
we can't,
seen it.
It's,
but, you don't want to know,
but
know.
I don't, but I did watch Crocodile. I just can't really remember it because I didn't really think it was that interesting. But that's the one with the insurance woman who has, and they
twist
can yeah,
that,
recall the
spoiler
the
alert.
No, wait, but seriously, spoiler.
The twist
seriously.
Is that she murders the baby because she thinks it saw her murder someone else, but then
right.
The baby was blind.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But
that's
then
like
a dog
high school,
saw her do
that's
it.
Some
no,
high school
not a dog,
boy
a
shit.
Guinea pig. A guinea pig saw her. Which
yeah.
Brings us back to rodents, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that episode I didn't like a lot. That also, side note, that song, anyone who knows what love is,
Irma Thomas
has been everywhere lately, and that episode has a lot of repetition of it. It also was in 15 Million Merits,
and another episode. There was in two episodes this season, I think, and 15 Million Merits, and maybe even another episode at some point.
Yeah.
The funniest thing about Crocodile is that it starts out with like her meeting a guy right before they commit a murder. And it's like a party scene with like a Goldfrapp song.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh a lot because I'm like, Charlie Brooker, like there's so much stuff about the 2000s in Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Like it was clearly a formative time for him. And he's maybe the only other person nostalgic for it besides Emily.
Hey, I mean, I'm lukewarm on Goldfrapp, but that was supposed to take place in the 2000s, I feel like. Cause it's
right,
her,
but I just love that they like
past.
Used that
her
song
dark, yeah.
to be like, hey, it's
blog
the 2000s.
Bloghouse pasts, our shadowy Bloghouse pasts.
People are always having like fond memories on Black Mirror of things taking place in the 2000s.
Well, maybe it's because it's like making fun of our own nostalgia and just being like, no, you should be nostalgic for right now because it's about to get so bad.
Oh, shit.
You should enjoy it.
But we should talk about USS Callister because I think we all liked it. And
yes.
I think what I liked about it is that like it neither did the, because I was watching it and I was watching it with my fiance and we were, and he's like, he has something like, are they, you know, how is she going to get out? Or is she going to get out of like, because she gets basically put into this, she gets a copy of herself made, the main character, or like the protagonist in this guy's simulation. And I was like, she's not going to get out. It's an episode of Black Mirror. Not, everything ends poorly for everybody. And it neither disproved that nor proved, like it was like an,
exactly.
I thought it was right in between in a way that I thought was interesting and didn't seem coming. The ending of it. And it's also like actually really funny. The whole,
yeah, it was really funny.
Well, also was funny was that Jesse Plemons, who has played, I believe both, he does like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Matt Damon in mm-hmm. that episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good call. Yeah.
Right. Shout out to my husband who called it and then continued to call it every 10 seconds throughout the episode.
No, you're totally like, yep. right. And that episode does a really good job of like setting him up as like the nerd you feel bad for and then twisting the knife and being like, don't feel bad for him.
It's a sick reversal. It's really well
done. It's really
good. Yeah. All nerd men.
Yeah.
It's like a Gamergate episode.
It's also just beautiful because they so much effort went into making the fake merchandise for the fake show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very like, I think when I heard like there's a Star Trek episode, I was definitely not like, oh, I'm
chomping at the bit.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
But I did.
Do you guys think it's the end of this, that the finale was the series finale?
Do you guys think Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek parody show is just like his simulation where he traps people?
100%. He definitely has a simulation that he has like every single like dumb starlet who has ever like been dumb enough to get an eye scan, a retinal scan by him. they live in there forever. It was a DNA sample. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, from a lollipop.
The lollipop.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and also, like, what's his face? Jimmy Simpson. Shout out to Jimmy Simpson being in everything now,
Shout out
now
Jimmy
too.
Simpson, the sci-fi Scream King.
Yeah, he's great. I love.
He was great too, because he was very good as like the dick guy at work. Who you're then like, maybe he's just friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy's a dick.
Yeah. No, I really like that one a lot.
One's worse. You guys see the Kirsten Dunst cameo?
No. What?
She's in The Office because she is engaged to Jesse Plemons in real life. So she just did like a cameo. She just walks by. She's in the background in like The Office, one of the Office scenes.
Good catch. Uh-huh. It has so many Easter eggs. It's almost like, it's almost too much.
Too many eggs.
It's an embarrassment of riches eggs.
I agree that I think that like making the connections is not as fun as like thinking about all the things they could be. You know, that was like the big True Detective thing was like, ooh, it's fun to like try to solve this mystery, but like solving the mystery is maybe not actually that fun. And I also think with Black Mirror that like at its best, what it does is like open the portal to a weird other universe, nightmare universe that we sort of live in already.
Yeah. I get very frustrated with a lot of aspects of the backlash on Black Mirror because I think a lot of the criticism is done by people, especially like when it's happening on Twitter. Like it's happening, it's like people saying LOL, like how uncool to be to critical or, you know, second guessing our nature as far as our addiction to technology or like our reliance on technology. And there's like there's such a knee jerk defensiveness about it, I feel like.
Because people don't want to think about like not using their phones.
Yeah.
And there's that Charlie Brooker quote that I love about how phones are like the new cigarettes, where it's like, except instead of taking 5 minutes off the end of your life, it takes 5 minutes off your life right now. Cause you just like,
that is such a good quote.
It's so good. Cause it's true. It's like every minute you spend like staring at your screen is like a minute you're not really experiencing reality. And like we all, you know, definitely I was a person who was always like, I can multitask. I love to like read a magazine while watching TV with a computer open.
Oh my God. How? You don't actually get like any of them then.
No, but I would get them all because I was getting them. Because if they're all like superficially administered things, you can get them all in a superficial level.
It feels so luxurious.
Yeah. But honestly, like all I'm such an asshole. All I can talk about is like, oh, I quit Twitter and now I just like look at a sunset. But it's like a little bit true. I'm like, I don't miss it. And when I first got off it, it was so like quitting smoking.
It's
like,
really hard. Yeah.
It's difficult. I was like clicking, picking up my phone every second to open Twitter and then like smoking. It's like if I stopped doing it for long enough, it made me like sick if I do it again.
I mean, I quit for a while and then I ended up coming back to it. But and I still, use it and check it, but not a lot. And this past week while I was, one, working, doing a ton of work, I had a ton of stuff I needed to work on. And also I was hanging out with people in Los Angeles and actually like seeing people face to face. And I was like, huh, funny how when you actually have stuff to do and, put time into seeing people face to face, you never actually want to look at Twitter. Like it was like the least interesting thing I could think of. But apparently that's like, it's like dorky to be, anti-Twitter now or something. I don't know.
Well, I think it's just like talking about these things as addictive substances is like not cool, even though like wasn't video game addiction just like added to the DSM or something?
Oh, really?
Well, I mean,
yeah. Like it's real. There are people who like go to the hospital because they can't stop playing Call of Duty. Like it's not common, but like, on a certain level, everyone is addicted to phones at this point. And I remember just like crossing that bridge and being like, I don't want to be one of these people who's like looking at their phone everywhere they go and then just becoming one.
No, I mean, now I just feel like every single day I'll be going, I'll be eating somewhere, like, getting lunch somewhere. And I see some family, like a family of tourists or something in New York that are at a restaurant or cafe or whatever. And they're just sitting there and they're all on their phones and they're not even looking at each other or talking or doing anything during their entire meal. And it's just like, I don't want to be that. And maybe it sounds so crunchy and dumb to like, I don't know, be critical of that. But I think that that's like an objectively poor quality of life.
No, I definitely like, I feel like it's okay to get back in touch with our inner like ad busters because like the future, like fucking Google sponsoring Calico and stuff like that. You're like, oh, science shouldn't be like made by private companies that own everything and are then going to own how to live forever and can like sell it to the richest people and nobody else. Like,
it also got so oppressively sad over the past year, because it used to be that when you would be checking Twitter all the time, like the sadness would be kind of levied by like a lot of silly stuff, but we're all kind of beaten down and like shells of ourselves.
I think some people have turned on Black Mirror because they don't like watching something so bleak, because it's like not escapist anymore. And I do feel that way about like a number of dystopian things, where you're like, oh, the dystopia is real now. So like, what do we put in our dystopias? Like, I saw Emily and I were talking about the new Purge movie.
Mm-hmm.
Purge fan, Purge Hive fan, Emily Yoshida.
It's called The First Purge. They just released.
I saw The First Purge, and I saw the poster is like, make America the Purge again. Yeah.
Well, they have the, it's like the poster, the teaser poster is the red hat, but it says, I forget what it says.
Yeah, I think it's
it just says The First Purge on it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, how do you, you know, what do you want in a sci-fi universe when the world feels so sci-fi?
Well, the other thing, and then we should probably move on, is I don't want to second guess how people are reading the thing. Like, you can read it however you want, but I do think that there's this tendency to think that Brooker is being like so dead serious, or like there's a period at the end of every sentence of Black Mirror, when I feel like it's mostly ellipses. Like, it's it's a lot of just like spitballing. Like, what if this one thing that we had like a few iterations later, what would it look like? It's all kind of questions, and I think that a lot of people are taking it as statements and like as objective facts that he's laying out about tech, and it's I feel like it's much more speculative than declarative.
Yeah, and it's speculative based on stuff that already exists, and maybe some people just don't want to think about like, how is that the logical extension of this thing I'm already doing?
Yeah.
And you know, we all, as we've talked about, let our phones just listen to us all the time, every day.
Oh, man. Wait till we do the Instagram is spying on us special. We're going to get kicked off the Audio Boom Network with a quickness. So we should wait for a year to do that. Let's just get a year.
I should say, though, if you have conspiracy theories about your phone listening to you, or you have evidence to back it up,
please
call
us. Call 1-240-46-NIGHT, 240-466-4448. Please tell
because
us how your phone
we
is
each have
to
our
you.
Own like anecdotal evidence of that, but I'm always looking.
And that was the thing where like no one believed me, and then people have come to me constantly being like, "You were right. My phone is listening to me even when Instagram's not open, because I get served ads for things I was just talking about."
Yep.
And then I was like, you know, I'm starting to get so paranoid that sometimes I'm like, "Am I getting ads for things I'm just thinking about?"
Whoa.
And then, or like something I looked at a sign but didn't like, and then somebody was like, told me, who worked in that, was like, oh no, they just like, they serve you ads based on where you go also.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
there's geotag. That's how I started getting ads for this shop I went into exactly once and never ordered from, never searched, never anything. And then I started getting ads for it all the time because I went into it once. Yeah. Fun stuff. So once again, you can leave us a message, give us a call at 1-240-46-NIGHT, 240-466-4448. And we have our first call, our first ever night call this week, coming from friends of the pod and fellow Audio Boom podcasters, David Sims and Griffin Newman from the Blank Check podcast. So let's hear what they have to say.
Hey, this is Griffin Newman.
Hey, this is David Sims.
We're from Blank Check with Griffin and David.
Yes.
Of course, we recently heard
on Molly Sleazy Friends, the question was raised, the episode that you guys were all on.
Which Zodiac character would you be?
Right.
You got, not which member of the Zodiac calendar.
Sure, not which sign.
The Fincher film Zodiac.
Yeah, which character? Are you a Ruffalo? Or are you a Downey Jr.? Or
David
are you
Toshi,
a Gyllenhaal?
I believe, is the name you're talking
about.
Well,
this is the character name.
Right,
shorthand. So that's our question.
Sure.
To you guys.
Please answer it now.
So we never really did get to the bottom of it, though, who we are from Zodiac. Are we an Avery? Are we a Greensmith? Wait, is that his name? Greensmith?
Graysmith.
Graysmith. Graysmith. Graysmith. Graysmith or Toski. aka the Robert Downey Jr., the Jake Gyllenhaal, and the Mark Ruffalo of the film. I don't know. What are you guys feeling? What's your sign? What's your zodiac?
I like how it seems like someone is asking us which one of us is the zodiac.
Yes.
So which of you is responsible for the murders?
Which zodiac murder did you did you commit? Because obviously we know that they weren't all the same person. So.
Well, I said, because Tess just showed up here today with a stack of papers printed out from the internet, and I decided that means that she's the Robert Graysmith.
And I just took that.
Well, because he's the one who, like, does all the research and has all the papers, all the files.
He's a doodler.
Yeah.
He's a doodler.
I'm a doodler.
And
Molly?
Emily, you expressed an affinity for Ruffalo.
Well, I feel like I'm Mark Ruffalo in most movies if he shows up. So I do think in this case too, especially when I was an editor, I feel like you have to be the no fun person a lot. And so I had sympathy for Toski because he's like a detective and he's not like, he doesn't get to have crazy conspiracies or like go on crazy benders like Robert Downey Jr. does. He kind of has to just like be a regular detective and like carry out the, you know.
He gets to wear a cool sidearm though, right?
Like he does.
Like a cool gun holster.
Yeah, and he has good ties. He has bow ties. I like his style a lot, probably of all of them. I really like Toski's style. I do like how he kind of, as things go on and as Graysmith kind of takes the case into his own hands. I love the way that he sort of secretively aids him by like saying, well, I didn't tell you this, but blah, blah, blah. So yeah.
What about the animal?
Oh yeah. He loves animal. Well, that's such a sticky thing. Like it feels like something from another movie. Like, oh, this cop, he's got his, a real hankering for animal crackers.
Well, he's also like a Columbo.
Totally. Yeah.
Like the trench coat.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have a soft spot for Toski and I feel like nobody else would pick him also. So
my friends have a Columbo party apparently every year. It's a Columbo Halloween party where everyone just comes dressed as Columbo.
Great.
And this year it was apparently Columbo or Mark Ruffalo and Zodiac.
Nice.
I feel like this is all pointing towards Molly being Avery, which I think is, I know you want that houseboat.
You know I want to be the Robert Downey Jr. character in anything.
Yeah, I mean, me too. But when I'm honest
with
myself.
Up until Iron Man, at which point I don't care anymore.
You don't want to be an arms dealer? Iron
Man? No, I don't want to be an arms dealer superhero. I want to demilitarize.
What's your favorite Downey? Is it this one or...
I mean, there's just a string of performances where he's so amazing.
Yeah.
Starting with Less Than Zero.
Yeah, I was going to say Less Than Zero, RDJ is not too shabby.
Heartbreaker. He just is himself. Chaplin is a good movie. I enjoyed him in Wonder Boys.
Someday we're going to talk about Tough Turf on here, like a whole episode devoted to Tough Turf.
Oh, yeah, Tough Turf I own on VHS.
It's the best. It's got Kim Richards with like amazing Barbie hair dancing on tabletops and
Spader.
So much Spader and spades. yeah, no, that movie is a masterpiece.
Yeah, there's just, you know, I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. There's a long period where he's really great in everything. And then he had that last little comeback and now he makes Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Yeah,
but he could always do something.
The judge. passion projects. So I think that's it. I think that's our final answer. Molly is Avery. Tess is Graysmith. And I'm Toski. And that's it. There's no more argument that it's settled. So,
and if there's a murder that you need solved, then I think we can handle it on the podcast pretty easily because with our resources
and
experience.
And like we don't care about confidentiality at all or like not discussing things on podcasts that should not be discussed on podcasts. So we'll totally like solve a murder on a podcast.
We can totes solve a murder.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a murder, if you have a cold case.
Yeah. Hit us up.
The new cereal.
Yes, yeah. We have a new cereal. We're going to get sued by so many people.
No, don't even bring that into the sphere here. Toy.
So that does it for this first episode of Night Call. And once again, please give us your night calls at 1-240-466-4448. That's 1-240-46-NIGHT. We'll be back next week talking about who knows what. And once again, I am Emily Yoshida.
And I'm Molly Lambert.
And I'm Tess Lynch.
We'll see you all on the other side. And please rate, review, and subscribe to Night Call on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you leave us a really good review, we might read it. Write us some nice prose. Write us some meaningful poetry, and we'll read it on air. And
thank you
in advance. All right, that's it. Bye.